I think the first thing on the agenda for today is that we finish up the Gemara. We have just a few pieces left. So we're on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. The last thing we discussed when we were trying to organize that there'll be a Be'idna, a simultaneity between the Issa Gneva and the Issa Shabbos, the Otzah Shabbos. So it's a case where he picks up the Gneva in the Rishus of the Bailin, the Rishus of Yaakov. That was keeping my place here. And he puts it out into Rishus HaRab. Okay then? If this doesn't bother you, it just keeps my place.
Sure. Thanks.
And now, the question is whether we're dealing with what's called Sidei Rishus HaRabim, and if we assume, like Rabbi Eliezer, who's, that was the last thing we discussed in the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer holds that Sidei Rishus HaRabim Ki Rishus HaRabim Domi, then when the Ganav puts the kiss out into the Sidei Rishus HaRabim, he's chayav for Melecha Shabbos. The question is, can he make a kinyan? Can he make a kinyan Gneva, which is called in this case Meshicha, by putting it into Rishus HaRabim, in this Tzidei Rishus HaRabim situation? So the Gemara offers the following distinction. That was the last thing we discussed yesterday. There's a halacha as far as the Rishus HaRabim is concerned, that if there's Dachri Reg Rabim, if on occasion the Rabim go into that area, That gives it the status of an extended Rishus HaRabim Yechayef HaHotzah. If on the other hand very few people are there, in other words, except for those exceptional moments, it's a kind of a private place, therefore as far as Kinyanim are concerned, he can accomplish a Kinyan Meshicha and a Chiv Gneva when he puts it down in the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. So now we have a simultaneity between the Chiv Shabbos and the Chiv Gneva, because both at the moment of Hanacha, which means he puts it down in Sidei Rishus HaRabim, he incurs both a Chiv Misa, because that the status of that area of Sidei Rishus HaRabim as far as Shabbos is concerned is Rishus HaRabim, again according to Rabbi Eliezer, and at the same time he incurs a Chiv Tashlume Gneva through the Kinyan Meshicha, because Lo Shchichei Beirav. So what we're up to now is Rav Ashi. And if you're looking at Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, it's like smack in the middle of the page. I can't tell you whether it's closer to the top or to the bottom. The first word in the line is Rabin, right? Which is the end of the phrase of Lo Shchichei Bei Rabin. And then it says, Ravashi Omar, Kigon Shetzeref Yodo Lamata Bishlosha V'Kiblo. We have that?
Love it.
So now we're again trying to establish a simultaneity between the chiyuv of hanocha for meleches hotzah, for chiyuv Shabbos, and the chiyuv of gneva. And it's a case where he did not do the hagbah, right? There was no actual hagbah in this case. And we're talking about grera. And what is the case of grera? So Rav Ashi says that you don't have to talk about Sidei Rishus HaRabim. Leave out Sidei Rishus HaRabim. We're mamish in Rishus HaRabim. And if you're going to ask how could he achieve a kinyan of Meshicha, we're of the opinion, like Rabbi Abba, who's coming around the bend, that there's no kinyan Meshicha in Rishus HaRabim. The answer is through Yad. What does it mean by Yad? If his hand, you know, he basically passes the kiss, the pocketbook, from one hand to the other. And this goes on lamata mishlosha tefachim. And when he receives the pocketbook in his second hand, he generates a kinyan, not a kinyan meshicha, but rather a kinyan yad. At that moment, he also achieves a chiyuv Shabbos. And this is based on the principle in Meleches Hotzah that yado shel adam chashuv lo kedalet al dalet. You familiar with that? Everybody knows what that is? Okay, good. So I don't have to go into that. And then we go with the explicit statement of Rava, Omer Rava Yad Shalom Chashuvlo Kimakom Dalet Al Dalet. So as far as Meleches Hotzah is concerned, he's considered like He took it out of Rishus HaYochanan and he left it, he put it down in Rishus HaRabim, even though he put it down into his Yad, and his Yad is certainly not Arba Tfachim al Arba Tfachim, but Rav's principle is that Yadu Shal Adam Chashuva Kamakom Arba Lav. In other words, there's no separate shear of Dalet Tfachim al Dalet Tfachim for Melechas Hotzah, for Hanocha. Hanocha has to be in a secure place, a place where he can protect it. And if he can protect it in a place that's less than Dalet al Dalet, for example, Yadu Shal Adam, that's considered a makom hanocha, and he's chayav. And in Hilchas Gneva, he's going to be chayav here because of Yadu Shel Adam, and that's called a kinyan yad. Now, keep in mind that when Rav Ashi says that tziref yado lemata mishlosha, it means that he puts his hand down below three tefachim above the ground. And with one hand he's dragging the kiss, which he took out of the base bialim, until he drops it into his other hand. And when he takes it in his other hand, he makes a kinyan. And this kinyan takes place simultaneously with Melechas Hotzah, with the Hanocha, because again, Yad Shel Adam Chashuvelo Kidalet Al Dal.
But isn't it Lavud, the Makami Gimel? So it's still on the ground.
Correct. That's why the Brisa uses the term Grera, because in a sense it's still on the ground, but as long as it's on the ground in his hand, he could be Kona even below Shlosha Tvach. That's the Chiddush Rav Ashi.
So what's the importance of Lamata Megimel?
Oh, so why is he pointing out that he was Kona with Lamata Megimel? The answer is because we said that there's no Kinyan Meshicha in Rishus HaRabim. You might think that since Rishus HaRabim is Ola Adla Gimel Tfachim, so even the airspace above Gimel Tfachim is considered Rishus HaRabim, and that's in fact true, but it doesn't remove the Hanocha and Biyado. So he has Hanocha Biyado, but his Yad itself is in Rishus HaRabim. What makes his Yad into Rishus HaRabim? So you could ask two questions here. Question number one is, in Hilchus Makom, is it a Rishus HaRabim? And question number two, is it a Makom HaNocha? So as far as Makom HaNocha is concerned, the Gemara establishes that Yadu Shel Adam is a Makom HaNocha. And as far as Rishus HaRabim is concerned, the Gemara is saying that he could be Kona. He could be Kona, this object, when he takes it out of Rishus HaYochid and he brings it into Rishus HaRabim, if it's Biyado. So I'll read to you what he says here in the name of the Ramban. Kosev Ramban, Mikan Muchach, Shedover Amunach Bershus Mocher, or Bershus Arabim. Oh, I'm sorry. This is the Ramban that we did yesterday. He says, Lekach Hemid Rav Ashi, Shemedubar Shetziref Yodo, Kadesh Lotia Hagbo Bershus Ayochim, Vyoz Hayakonis Achevitz Kodim Shechal Yisr Shabbos. So number one, it's critical that he took it out into Rishus HaRabim, because otherwise he could make a kinyan in the Rishus HaYochid once his Hagbah. Now, we said before that we're trying to avoid Hagbah, and the reason we're trying to avoid Hagbah is because the Hagbah took place in the Rishus HaYochid. He could be Kone Rishus HaYochid. So now the Bryce, right, and then that would come before he was Chayav for Shabbos. So the Bryce is trying to say that since he did a Grera, and therefore he avoided a Hagbah, right? Grera means that there's no Hagbah. So then he's going to only be Chayav for Gneva when he makes his Kinyan and he takes it out into the Rishus HaRabim. So now he takes it out into Rishus HaRabim with Grera, and therefore he's not Chayav for Gneva at the time of Hagbah, because there was no Hagbah, there was only a Grera. And now he makes the Kinyan the very moment that he drops it from one hand to the other. And when he drops it from one hand to the other, he's chai for both Gneva and at the same time for Chil Shabbos. Rav Acha Masni Hacha, Ravina Masni, so Rav Acha is willing to accept that there's no Meshicha into a Rishus HaRabim, and therefore we have to accept the Ukimta of Ravashi. Ravina Masli Liolam the Afke Rishus HaRabim, Uber Shus HaRabim Nami Kala. In other words, Ravina argues against Rav Acha, and he holds that you can't be kona with Mashiach into Rishus HaRabim, and therefore there's no need to speak about Yodo Shel Adam and a Kinyan Yad. He could be kona simply with a Kinyan Mashiach. The very moment that he takes the object into Rishus HaRabim, he's kona. So again, according to Rav Acha, you cannot be kona with Mashiach and Rishus HaRabim, and therefore we need this tziruf yodo mitachas l'shol shetzvachim v'kiblo. That's going to create a new kinyan, which is called the kinyan yad. But as far as Mashiach is concerned, there is no Mashiach into Rishus HaRabim. Ravina could avoid the whole discussion about tziruf es yodo l'mata mishlosho. We don't need that he passed it from one hand to the other. He was coded with the kinyan yad. The very moment that he drags it into Rishus HaRabim, and it means he took it out of Rishus Bailim into Rishus HaRabim, at that moment he is Kona the Kinyan Gneva, even in Rishus HaRabim, because he holds, Ravina holds, that there is Mashiach as a Kinyan into Rishus HaRabim. Vitravayu, both Rav Acha and Ravina, b'diyuka deha masnisin kamithligi. They're arguing about how to understand a Mishnah, and this Mishnah is in Masechet Bava Kama towards the end in the sugis of Kinyoni Gneva and Gzela. Tisnan, it says in the Mishnah there, Chaya Moshcho V'yotze Umes, we're talking about a Ganov who takes an animal from the Rishus Bailim and he drags it into a Rishus HaRabim. No, I'm sorry. Tisnan Chaya Moshcho V'yotze Umes Rishus Bailim.
No, he didn't even get it out.
Right, correct. Before he got it out into the Rishus HaRabim, it died, and he's potter. Higbio, okay, so now instead of dragging it, he lifted it up. Osha Hotzio Rishus Bailim, or he was dragging it and he was successful in bringing it out to Rishus HaRabim, then even though it dies, he's chayv. Wait just one second, I think there's a misunderstanding. So we're here on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Let's just go over the Gemara one more time. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that did the Ganav take it out of the Rishus Bailim and bring it into Rishus HaRabim? If he did not, then it depends upon whether he was Magbia or he was Gorer. So in the case of Hayam Moshcho V'yotze Umes Rishus HaBailim, he was only Gorer. And before he got a chance to take it out into the Rishus HaRabim, what happened? The animal died. So in such a case, potur. Why? Because Mimonashach, he didn't make a kinyan. He didn't make a kinyan of Mashicha by taking it into Rishus HaRabim because it died before he got into Rishus HaRabim. And in the Rishus Bailim, he didn't make a kinyan Agbah because he never lifted it up. Now the Sefer of the Mishnah says the fine. But Igbio, if either he did achieve Agbah in Rishus HaBailim, or even if he was Gorer, Hotzio Rishus Bailim Umes, in such a case, Chayav. So Ravina Daik Mi Resha, Rav Acha Daik Mi Seifa. So we're trying to determine whether there's a Kinyan Mashicha by taking the animal into Rishus, or out into the Rishus HaRabim.
But that seems to be flipped.
So wait, just give me 5 minutes just to get the calculation. So Ravina Daik Mi Seifa Mi Resha. Ravina was medayik from the Resha. It says in the Resha, "Yom Moshcho v'yotzei umes b'shus bailim potter." And the reason why it's potter is because it died before he was able to bring it out into what? Into Rishus HaRabim. Taima d'mes b'shus bailim. The reason why he's not kone is because it died before he got into the Rishus HaRabim. It died in Rishus HaBailim. Ha hotziu b'shus bailim umes chayav. So Ravina derived from this the conclusion that there is a Kinyan Mashiach into Rishus HaRabim, because the Mishnah in the Resha says the only reason he's not Kona is because it died before he got out into Rishus HaRabim, implying that if he had gotten out into the Rishus HaRabim, he would be Kona. And we're talking about a case of Gerera where there was no Hagbah, he was Kona with Mashiach. So you see that there is Mashiach into Rishus HaRabim. Rav Acha Diik Mi Seifa. Higbio o hotzio, if he successfully achieved one of two things, either in the Rishus HaBailim he lifted it up and he was kona with Agbah, or alternatively he took it out begreira into Rishus HaRabim, that's called hotzio, comes along Rav Acha, and he's medayik. The Braisa gives two cases, either Hagbav Rishus Bailim or Meshicha Rishus Harab. And he has a Hekesh. In other words, these two cases are to be equated. There's an analogy between the two. Hotzah Dum Yudah Hagbav. We equate Hotzah with Hagbav. What does that mean? Ma'agbadi asi lirshusei. In other words, it's considered as if the chayfitz is rishus. Once he lifts it up, is afotzah nami di asi lirshusei. It means that the chayfitz has to come to his rishus. Lafuke rishus araba, which is not his rishus. So Gemara, now I'm just going to finish up, Yechiel, and then you.
No, I get it.
Okay. Right, if these two diukim lead us to two different conclusions, then each one of these amoraim is going to have to defend, as Rav Acha is going to have to defend and interpret the Reisha, and Ravina the Seifa. So Reisha, Rav Acha lo kasha. If you ask me why the Mishnah, and the Reisha says that he didn't make it to the Rishus Arabim and it died, implying that had he made it into Rishus Arabim, he would have been Chayav for Gneva, he would have been Kone. And comes along Rav Acha, and he says that's not a kasha. Why? Kama delo asi lirshusei. What it means is when it says Hayomoshka v'yotzi mes, it means because he didn't take it into his own Rishus. And even though the Mishnah uses a different language, it says Meis Rishus Bailim, implying that he didn't make it into Rishus Arabim. No, Rishusei is Rishus Bailim Karinale. In other words, the flip side of Rishus Bailim is another Bailim. It's not a Rishus Arabim, a public area, but it's a private area. So it means that the only reason that he's potter in this case in the Reisha is because he didn't successfully bring it into his own private Rishus, but rather he brought it into Rishus Arabim, and therefore Meshicha would not be operative in Rishus Arabim. What does the Mishnah mean when it says he died, implying that had it not died, he would have been Kona, not because he brought it into Rishus Arabim, but he brought it into something that's similar to Rishus Bailim, meaning his own personal Rishus. So if he got it, if he took it, he dragged it from the Rishus of the Bailim into the Rishus of the Ganav himself, then he's Kona, but not in Rishus Arabim. Sefer Ravina lo kasha, even though it says in the Sefer, Hotzio Mirshus Bailim Umeis, implying that he brought it into, I'm sorry, that was the diuk of, just one second, the Seifa, the Ravina. Oh, so the Seifa now is a kasha on Ravina, right? Because what was Rav Acha's argument from the Seifa? It says, Higbio, we have a tsushta, we have an equation between Otsio and Higbio. Just like Higbio makes it into his Rishus, so you need a Hotsa into Rishus. And the answer is, he doesn't equate the two. This analogy in the Mishnah is fine for Rav Acha, but Ravina never bought into it. Hotzah dumi d'agbah lo amrina. We're going to differentiate between agbah and hotzah. That hotzah means to take it out of a rishus, and agbah means to take it into a rishus. So in the case of hotzah, which means that he dragged it on the ground and he's being coated with the kinya meshicha, all he needs is to get it out of the rishus of the violin, and that's called hotzah. Hagbah is something else. Hagbah requires, in a positive sense, that he takes it into his own to Rishus, which means he lifts it up. Now, at this point, the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. Let's try to make a little bit more of a progress here, and we can turn to Daf Lamed Beis, because the sugya of Kimle Ramine is going to reach its apex here on Daf Lamed Beis. I would assume that if we'll meet until Tisha B'Av, it depends on, gentlemen, what you're doing after Tisha B'Av, but I can tell you that Lamed Beis is going to be the lave of our studies. And probably if we go on even into Elul, if you're interested, Lamed Beis is going to take, I don't know how long. Because if you think the Mishkan El Saroim has enough on Lamed Aleph, that's nothing compared to Lamed Beis. In any event, Habal Achos V'Alachos Aviv. Now the Mishnah tells us that in Chayve Krisus you pay Knas. which means that our Mishnah is against Rav Nechunya ben Akana. We don't apply Kimlei d'Ramine in the case of Knas, in the case of Kares, because Ason means Ason bidei Adam, not bidei Shomayim. Uraminu, what are we going to do with the next Mishnah? The next Mishnah, no, I'm sorry. What are we going to do with the Mishnah in Masechta Makkos? In the Mishnah in Masechta Makkos, it says, Eilein alokim, habal achoso, alachos aviv, alachos imo, achos ishto, achos eish achiv, achos eish achiv, achos nido. So what we're saying here is that the Mishnah establishes that even in cases of Chayvei Krisus, he gets Malkus. The Kaimalon, the Loka, the Eino Loka Mishalim. So let's understand the stira between two Mishnayos. The Mishnah Ksuvus assumes that he's not getting Malkus. And if he's not getting Malkus, then he pays the Knas. The Mishnah in Masechta Makkos has the same identical list of Chayvei Krisus, and there it says that he gets Malkus. If he gets Malkus, then ipso facto, he doesn't pay the Knas. So let's say Baal Achoso, does he pay Knas? Our Mishnah says yes, he pays Knas. The Mishnah in Makkos says he gets Malkus. And Kaimalon, Eino Loka Mishalim. So Veino Loka Mishalim, there's no way that he can pay the Knas. Omar Ula, Ula's answer, which is going to be rejected later on, is Lokasha. Kan Bi Achoso Nara. V'kan Bi Achoso Bogeris. What it really means is that the principle of Eino Loka Mishalim will apply, certainly in a case of Malkus, but only if there's a Knas. And the Torah says in the Parsha of Knas that she's a Nara, as opposed to Baal Bogeres. So the Mishnah in Masechta Makkos, which is talking about a Chiyuv Malkus, which means ipso facto there's no Knas, the reason why there is no Knas is because we're talking about a Bogeres. And if there's Bogeres, the Torah says she doesn't get Knas, she's going to get Malkus. Now, watch this. The underlying principle, you have to write this down or memorize it. The underlying principle of Ula is that if by virtue of a certain criminal act you chayv both Malkus and Mamon, then you get Mamon and you don't get Malkus. That's counterintuitive because we're familiar with the principle that you get Malkus and you don't get Mamon. But Ula turns it around the other way and he says you pay the Mamon and you don't get Malkus. So now we have two Mishnahs. One Mishnah says that in the case of Baal Achoso, he pays the Knas. The other Mishnah says Baal Achoso gets Malkus. Now, if there's a double Chiyuv of both Knas and as Mamon and Malkus, then according to Ula, we're going to suspend, or shall we say, exempt the Mechuy of Malkus from Malkus, and he's Baal Achoso, he should get Malkus. And we're going to say he doesn't get Malkus. Why doesn't he get Malkus? Because he's Chayv Knas. Why is he Chayv Knas? Because she's a Nara. If, on the other hand, he was Ba al Achoso Gdolo, or Bogeres, then there is no Knas. If there's no Knas, that frees, that paves the way for Malkus. So again, our first question is, will there be a Chiyuv Mamon, or will there not be a Chiyuv Mamon? And the two Mishnayos are addressing two different scenarios. Our Mishnah Ksuvus is addressing the case of what? Of a Nara, and therefore there is Knas. If there's Knas, then there's no Malkus. It's almost as if Ula holds that paying money is more severe of a punishment than getting Malkus.
Is that just in Knas?
I mean, what would be if yes, he was Chayv Malkus and what? And Tashlumi Momin? Let's say he, like the Zikin kind of thing?
Any other kind of Tashlum that's not Knas.
Let me think for a second. One second. In the case, I mean, again, I'm going to assume that a Chiyuv Mamon, see here I'm relying on the Chachmei Tzarfas. I don't know that any Rishonim argue with the Chachmei Tzarfas. But the Chachmei Tzarfas say that we only apply Kimlei D'Rabbimine if the two actions are criminal actions. So you're asking about Nezikin, yeah. if I assume the Zikin is a criminal action, again, you have to know exactly what crime he violates, but let's assume that the Zikin is a criminal action, then I would apply Kimle to the Rabbinay, and he pays for the Nezikin, and he doesn't get Malchus. Yeah, it would apply also Nechiv Mam. Our case, I mentioned Knas a few times, only because that's the Metzius that we're dealing with. We're talking about the Mishnah at the beginning of the third Perek Ksubis, which is the Mishnah of Onus and Mefate. I mean, I don't want to confuse us, but we can talk about Tashlume Chavol, which means what's it called Pagam. Oh yeah, we could talk about Pagam and Boshes and maybe even Tsar in certain cases, and I would assume that according to Ula, if you pay any of those payments, then you're not Chayv Malchus. That would be my initial assumption. If you know something that I don't know, let me know. What about the Mishnah in Malchus? The Mishnah in Malchus says he doesn't pay and he gets Malchus. The answer is because the Mishnah is talking about a Bogeres. And in a Bogeres, there is no Knas. Maybe now we're going to actually come to grips with your question, Yosef. The Gemara now is going to ask the following question. In the case of Malchus, we're talking about a Bogeres. Yeah, but that's only going to help us as far as Knas is concerned, meaning the 50 shkolin, because the Torah says Venosan Lavianara as excluding a Bogeres. But despite that fact, if he's Baal Achoso, he's a Chovel, let's take the case of Onis, for example, and he's Chayav Futsar, and maybe even Boshes Ugam. Oh, so let's see if the Gemara is going to bear out what I told you. Oh, let's see. The Mishnah Mark is talking about Achoso Bogeres, and the Mishnah establishes that he gets Malchus, is Nami Ha'ika Boshes Upagam. Oh, so I was right what I told you. Any Chiyuv Mamon, like for example, Chovil B'Chavero, which is a Chiyuv Nezikin, is included in Kimlev the Rabbinay. Well, again, Kimlev Rabbinay means Mishalim Veino Loke in this particular context. So how could the Mishnah in Malchus, if it's talking about a Bogeres, exempt him from... Oh, no, let me say it the other way around. If the Mishnah is talking about Bogeres, how could the Mishnah establish that he's Chayiv Malchus? We should exempt him from Malchus because of the Tashlume Boshes Upagam. So basically what the Gemara is going to do now, it's going to look for Ukimtus. It's going to try to interpret the Mishnah in Masechta Malchus in cases where there is no Boshes Upagam. Why is there no Boshes Upagam? So the first answer to the Gemara is Shota. A Shota doesn't have Boshes, and I guess even as far as Pagam is concerned, so Pagam means how much she was devaluated by in the Shuk for being sold as a Shivcha as a result of the Bia. So is Baal Achoso. I guess if she's a Shota, maybe her significance on the market is negligible anyway. So the fact that she had this Be'ila would not impact on the and the value her value her shovi bashuk. So Gemara says you've solved the problem of boshes begam, but va'ika tsara, what are you going to do with the chiyuv to pay dmei tsar? That's also one of the five categories of chavola, of chiyuve chavola. And here it makes no difference whether she's a shota or a pikachas. In both cases, he should be paying to make tsar, and hence he should be therefore potter from Malchus, because the principle is Mishalim Venoloke. So Gemara answers, we're going to have to assume that the Mishnah there has no tsar. Why is the Mishnah talking about a case where there's no tsar? The answer is B'mefuta. So Mefuta doesn't have tsar, because she consented to have this act. So we have now a double kimta. We're going to have to assume that A, the Mishnah is talking about a shota, and B, the Mishnah is talking about a Mefuta, and C, the Mishnah is talking about a Bogeres. So the fact that she's a Bogeres knocks off the Chiv Knas. The fact that she's a Shota knocks off Bosh Supagam. And the fact that she is a Mefuta, that knocks off Tsar. So the Gemara says, Hashad Diyosis Lahochi, Afilu Tema Choso Nara, b'yisoma u'b'mefuta. We can interpret the Mishnah in such a way that there are no payments, even without having to discuss the case of shota or the case of mefuta. No. We're going to need mefuta because otherwise it's going to be tsar. Okay, so we need mefuta because we want to neutralize the chiyuv tsar. But there's no need to introduce bogeres. Why? You'll ask me, well, isn't there a chiyuv to pay what? To pay the knas, right, if she's a nara. So the answer is there is no knas. Why is there no knas? Because the father is dead. Now, just because the father is dead, does that ipso facto mean that we remove knas? The answer is absolutely no. Basically, the father is representing her, so if we take him out of the picture, then she herself can claim the knas. But the answer is, we're talking about a mefuta. And a mefuta, she cannot claim knas. The only one who can claim knas in the case of mefuta is who? Is the father. Because as far as she is concerned, if she was in the driver's seat and the father is out, then she's mocheles. And if she's mocheles, then she doesn't collect knas. So all we need now is yisoma mefuta. We can go back to assume that the Mishnah is talking about a case, Mishnah Makkah is talking about a case of a nara. If you'll ask me, well, if she's a nara, then there are two payments that should be collected here, and both of them, or either of them, would not go off the chiyuv malchus. How could the Mishnah say yichayv malchus? And we're going to combine yisoma with mefuta. Yisoma is going to take the father out of the picture. But that's not enough to take her out of the picture. What's going to take her out of the picture is that she's a mefuta, and therefore she's mocheles. Alma, what do we see? Kasavar ula, kol hecha de'ika mamona, mamonu malchus. When there's a double punishment that's appropriate, we should, number one, force him to pay, and number two, we should give him malchus. Is mamona mishali milkalo loki. In this case, we impose upon him a chiyuv mamon, and he's exempt from the chiyuv malchus. Now, I have here a note which I'd like to read to you. He says the following: Mishalim mamon v'eino loke, im sover ula shel loke v'eino mishalim, madua tiretz shebemishne v'makis meduber v'bogeres. Halo yochalo yilatari tzulamis mishasenu shemeduba barshalo hisrubo became a chain of loke chayav l'shalim v'yua mishne b'makas meduba shehisrubo. Here's the question: if we assume that in a double punishment of malchus and momon, then you get malchus and you don't get momon, then we could very simply reconcile the so-called stira between the Mishnah in Ksubis in Baal HaChoso and the Mishnah in Makkos in Baal HaChoso. The Mishnah in Ksubis Baal HaChoso is talking about a case where there was no Asra. And if there was no Asra, then ipso facto there's no Malkus. Hence you pay Momon. But the Mishnah in Makkos is talking about a case where there was Asra. And therefore you get Malkus. And ain't a loka mishalim means that you give the malchus and you don't pay mamon. That would have been a simple solution to this contradiction between the two mishnayos. And Ula doesn't offer that contradiction, that solution. Instead, he says that we're talking about a bogeres. Why do we have to talk about a bogeres? Even in the case of Nara, did the boel receive a? Again, we're talking about Baal HaChoso. Did he receive asra? Did he not receive asra? So from the fact that Ula did not give this reconciliation between the two Mishnais, would have been the simple way of understanding, it must be that Ula holds that if it is both Malkus and Mamon, then you give Mamon and you don't give Malkus. And if that be the case, then Ula has a real serious problem, because the Chiv should always be Mamon. And the only way of excluding Mamon is by introducing a Bogeres and a Mefuta, or as the Gemara finally concludes, the Yisoma Mefuta. Bottom line is, we see that according to Ula, Mamonim Shalim Milka Lo Lokim, Minole Le Ula Ha. What is the source for Ula's conclusion? Gomar, he derives it from Chovil B'Chavero. Now the case of Chovil B'Chavero has a double chiyuv. Because if a person hits his friend, then he violates the lav of Pen Yosef, and he gets Malkus for that. On the other hand, if he imposes upon the Nechbal different kinds of losses, five different categories of losses, he's Chayav Mamon. So what is the Torah going to say about Chovil B'Chaver? And the answer is, we have to open up to Parshas Ki Teitze, and there the Torah addresses the case of Chavola, and the Torah says, Arboim Yakenu V'lo Yosef. Meaning, if he violated this lav of Lo Yosef, then Arboim Yakenu, he gets 40 Malkus. He says the following, Gomar Michovel B'Chaver, Machovel B'Chaver De'ika Mamon, Umalkus, it's an overlap of two punishments. And what's going to be the din? Well, the Torah says in that parasha that he pays Mamon Mishalim Milka Lo Lucky. Okay? So in other words, it means the following, that the Torah says Shifto Yitem, etc., Rapa Yerape, and we derive that in the case of Chovel, he pays five different categories of Tashlumei Chavola, and the Torah is now telling us that he doesn't get Malkus. Why? Because we have a principle that we can't give out two punishments, and the Torah explicitly says that he has to pay Mamon. It must be that he's alleviated from Malkus. Is Af Hecha, is Af Kol Hecha the Ika Mamon Umalkus? Chovel becomes a paradigm whenever there's an overlap of both Mamon and Malkus, Mamon and Mishalim, Milka, Lo Lucky. And the Gemara is going to analyze this drasha of Ula and literally take it apart. But before we do that, let's understand what Ula is saying. Ula is saying that if a person hits his friend and wounds him, he violates a lav of Pen Yosef. And Ula therefore asks the following question. Why is it that the Torah says that in the case of Chovel B'Chavero, he pays the five categories of Nezikin, of Niskei Chavola? Why not apply the principle of Eino Lokim Mishalim? We're going to give Malkus for violating the lav of Pen Yosef, and that's going to exempt him from paying the five categories of Niskei Chavola. The answer is that the Torah holds, on the contrary, that it's the Mamon that takes precedence, and that's the punishment that we're going to mete out, and not the punishment of Malkus. They call Hecha the Ika, but Mamon Malkus is Mamon Mishalim V'Milka Lo Lucky. Even though, again, we only have this one case of Chavola where the Torah went out of its way to say that he has to pay, but Ula extrapolates through the principle of Binyan Av that this is going to be indicative or paradigmic, if you of all cases of Mammon and Malkus. So the Gemara says the following: there's no justification to derive Ula's very far reaching conclusion based on the parish of Chavola, because it's a pircha. There's a separate chumrah that the Torah is machmir in Chavola. Now, Rabosa, if I would ask you for your knee-jerk response, if the Torah wants to be machmir in Chavola, and we'll prove that from the five categories of Nezikin, then which punishment of the following two punishments, I'll give you a choice of A and B, which would you think the Torah would impose? Either A, Malkus, for violating Pan Yosef, or Mamon, as Tashlumi Chavola. Which would you say?
Mamon.
Oh, that's, you would say Mamon. Okay, so you fit into Kol Modecha. I fit into B'chol Nafshech. No, what do I mean? I would have said that if the Torah wants to be Machmer and the two possible punishments, then the more severe punishment would have been Malkus. That would have been my conclusion. But Yosef, you see it in the way Ula saw it. So you're in good company with Ula. Ula is going to say the following, that if the Torah wants to be Machmer in the case of Chavola, which we're about to prove from the five categories of payment, then the Torah is going to conclude that you should pay Mamon and you'll be exonerated from Malkus. Why? Because the Torah wants to give you the more severe punishment, more stiff punishment. And which punishment is more harsh? Is it Mamon or Malkus? The answer is going to be Mamon. Mamon is the more harsh. That's what I call the Chol Modecha philosophy, right?
Okay.
And this is based on the fact that Mamona is Lechumra. Now, where we find that Chavola is the Torah wants to be more Machmir in Chavola, and therefore says, let him pay and don't get Malkus, well, relative to, you know, to all other cases where he damages someone or so forth, what's the big Chumra in Chovel B'Chavero? Shekein Chayev B'Chamisha Dvarim. In other words, if let's say I damage your table, so I pay you what's called nezek, or let's say in a case where what other example could I give? Okay, I don't have another example there, but in the case of chovel, in addition to nezek, the Torah says he has to pay Tsar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boshes. Mm-hmm. And in each one of these cases, of these categories, there's a big chiddush that he has to pay for that. It's all Grama bin Ezekin. You know, Nezek is if a person goes down in value as a result of the blow that he received, that's called Nezek. That's a direct result of a Maisa Hezek. But when you talk about Ripui, that he, you know, he's got to pay doctor bills, or Sheves, he can't work, and he loses a day's pay or a month's pay, that's already Grama bin Ezekin. And yet the Torah says, Shifto Yitein Rapi Rapi, he has to pay all these bills. He's got to pay for Sheves, he's got to pay for Boshes. The only time, in as far as I know, in Ezekin that you pay money for Boshes is only Chovel B'Chavero. And whatever the standards are, the requirements of Chovel B'Chavero, then, and only then, is there a Chiv Boshes. So we have a real chumra here in Chovel B'Chavero. And therefore, maybe the Torah says that you get mamon, you pay the mamon and you're exempt from malchus, not because that's the universal rule that applies to any case of Ika when there's both mamon and malchus, but it's an exceptional case in Chavala, because the Torah is very machmir about Chovel B'Chavero, and therefore the Torah wants you to pay damages. All that makes sense if we assume Mamona L'Chumra. Now the Gemara wants to entertain another possibility, which is what I thought, that Mamona is L'Kula, that in a choice between Onish Malkus and Onish Mamon, certainly the corporeal punishment of Malkus is that much more harsh than the monetary punishment. So if we're going to assume that Mamono is Lakula, then we're back to Ula's Drasha. Why? Because the Torah says in Chavolu we have to be very machmir, and Afal Pichein he gets the Onish Kal, which means the Onish of Mamon, and he pays the five categories, and he doesn't get Malkus. Is how much more so in other cases where the Torah is not so machmir like it was in Chovel, that the principle is going to be that we let him off the hook for a lesser crime, and we allow him to pay mamon. Do you hear the Kal V'Chomer? If you hold mamon l'kula, then Ula's drasha, Ula's yalfusa is mamish Kal V'Chomer, because the Torah spells out that in the case of Chovel you pay. Then how much more so in the case of a lesser violation that you would pay, and you would be exempt from malchus. That's called Mamona Lakula. So the Gemara answers, Shekein Hutar Mechlolo Bebezdin. The Iser of Chavola has a Kula to it. In other words, Ula cannot base himself on the Kal V'Chomer and say, well, if in the case of Chavola, which is more Machmir, the Torah nevertheless lets him get away with paying Mamon, and alleviates him from Malkus, how much more so in other cases which are not as Chomer as Chovel. But the truth is that Chovel, despite whatever you think, is more Kuladik. Where do we find that there's a Kula in Chovel B'Chavero? That's called Hutar Mechlolo. Rabosai, are you familiar with Hutar Mechlolo? Very, very profound, a very rare kind of a breed in the methodology in the Talmud. You could probably do a word search and see how often in Shas it appears. My guess is it probably appears once in every Masechta, the maximum. But Huta Mechlolo means that if you have an Isser that should apply in X number of cases, whatever that X indicates, you enumerate all the situations in which you should be chayav for that Avera, and the Torah takes one case out of the bag and says that you're allowed to engage in this particular activity, and it's not included in the original all-inclusive Isser. Once I take one case of what should have been an Isser, and the Torah says it's mutter, that already puts it on a level of lekula, and we cannot derive any conclusions from that particular Isser. If that Avera has an exception in which it's mutter, a scenario in which it's mutter, in the very same Avera, that indicates and defines the Avera as a kula, as an Avera from which we cannot derive any conclusions elsewhere.
So, en lomdim.
Correct. It's going to destroy. I'll give you, Rabosa, just 2 minutes, and I don't want to get off on a tangent, but it's Huta Mechlolo is very important. The classic case of Huta Mechlolo is the case of Chadash after the Omer, before the Shtei Alechem, meaning during the period of time between Pesach and Sukkot. Mm-hmm. And that's called Huta Mechlolo. Why? Because although Chadash is also Mizbeach, up until Shtei Alechem on Shavuos, it became mutter after the Omer was brought on the 16th of Nisan. That's called Huta Mechlol, meaning the Isur Chadash was an all-inclusive Isur. It was also for you and I to eat Chadash. That's called Achilas Hedjot. And it was also to put the Chadash in a Mincha on Gavi Mizbeach. That's called Achilas Mizbeach. So we have a double Isur, and the scope of the Isur is very broad. As soon as we have Huta Mechlolo, meaning we take one of those two Isurim out of the bag, then it lowers the level of the Isur entirely, even as far as Mizbeach is concerned. So for example, the Mishnah says that if he brought Chadash on the Mizbeach after the Omer, before the Shtei Alechem, then the Mincha is Kshera. That's called Huta Mechlolo. But here the case of Huta Mechlolo is that you're not allowed to give Shmeitzin, you're not allowed to give... It's too hot for you, Yosef?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm getting the, like, maybe move it down because it's coming on my head, the air conditioning. Yeah. So in the case of the violation of the Isur of hitting someone, the Torah takes one scenario out of that violation, and that's called a Shliach Bezdin. A Shliach Bezdin, Adarabah, instead of being enjoined from hitting someone, he's actually commanded to hit that person. And that's not a violation of any Isur. In fact, in Masechta Sanhedrin, what we're learning now is if the Shliach Bezdin inadvertently kills the victim, he doesn't go into Golos because he's involved in a mitzvah. It's not Dumya de Chativas Eitzel. But in any event, the Gemara wants to say the following, that if you want to compare Chavolah to other Averos, then compare Chavolah from the perspective of Huta Mechlolo, and it becomes Lekula. And if it becomes Lekula, then you can't derive beans from Chobo V'Chaver. Why? Because in Chobo V'Chaver, the Torah wanted to be Mekil, and therefore the Torah let him get away with paying the Dmei Chavolah, the five categories, instead of getting Malkus. But that doesn't prove a thing as far as other Averas are concerned, where if he violates an Avera and at the same time he incurs the Chiyuv Mamon, in such a case we'll give him the more Chamer Dika punishment, which is Malkus, because now we're holding that Mamon is Lekula. How does Ula derive, how is he justified in deriving any conclusions from Chovil B'Chavera? So again, if we learn that Chovil B'Chavera is L'Chumra, and we prove it from the fact that there are five different categories of Nezikin that he has to pay, and most of them are Grama, so then maybe we're holding that Mamon is the more Chomerdik way to go in a choice between Mamon and Malkus. And therefore the Torah makes him pay and alleviates him from Malkus. But in other Yisurim, which are not so Chamur, we're going to hit him with Malkus, and therefore we'll be lenient with him, and we'll be compassionate with him, and allow him to get away with Malkus. That's if you hold that Mamona is lechumra. If on the other hand you hold Mamona lekula, then we're gonna push for the fact that Chovil B'Chaveru has a tremendous kula, and that's called Huta Mechlolo bebezdim. And if huta mechol bebezdim, that proves that the Torah was mekil in the case of chavola. And therefore, if I hold mamona lekula, we thus understand and justify why, in the case of chavola, he pays and he doesn't get malchus. But in other yisurim, which are more lechumra, we're not going to let him get away with mamon. So that limud, that drasha or yalfusa from chovel b'chavero is a dud. A dud. It's a failure. Ela gama made him zomim. What happens in Adam zomim? Let's say, for example, Adam testified that so-and-so owes somebody else 200 zuz, and they turn out to be Adam Zomim. So on the one hand, they should be chayav malchus for violating the lav of losana b'yachet shaker, and at the same time, they try to be mafsid so-and-so mama, 200 zuz, lo b'zogim, and they turned out to be Adam Zomim, and the Torah is going to tell us that in this case, they pay the money, that's called kasha zoma. So again, they testify against someone that he owes 200 zuz. They'll have to pay him 200 zuz, and he won't get malchus. Again, this is against Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is going to say that in Adam Zomim they get both misa, or whatever the punishment might be, and they pay malchus. But we're going now according to all the other Tannaim, who assume that... Right, so I forgot what I was going to say for a moment, but what I wanted to say was that if you hold like Reb Meir, you get both punishments, but if you hold like the Chacham, you only get one punishment. And which punishment are you going to get? You're going to get Mamon and not Malchus, right? That's called Asisim Lokasha Zoma. Let's take Adam Zoma as our paradigm case, that whenever there's an overlap between Mamon and Malchus, we're going to give out what? Mamon, and we're going to exempt him from Malchus. According to the, again, leaving out Rabbi Meir, who says that he gets both.
But since the Torah says Kasha Zaman, you don't have a choice to say you don't get Mamon. It's Xeris Akasav.
Right, but why does the Torah choose in this decision making process that as far as Losana Breachet Shaka generating Malchus, we're gonna throw that overboard, and instead we're gonna impose the punishment of Mamon. Right?
We're going to do Kasher Zoma.
Good, but I'm asking you the following question. You're right, Kasher Zoma tells me that he's going to pay Mamon, and I'm not denying that. But my only question is, if we have a principle called Eino Loka Mishalim, then although he should be paying Mamon under Kasher Zoma, and that would be the appropriate punishment, but we can't give him both Malchus and Mamon. So we have to choose one of the two. Says Ula, why does the Torah choose that he pays Mamon? Just like we asked the same exact question in Chovel B'Chavero, why does he get Mama? Why doesn't he get Malchus for violating Pen Yosef? Here also, why doesn't he get Malchus for violating Losana? Again, you might ask, it's a lap shame, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah. I'm not getting into that old discussion right now. That'll also come into the sugya. But right now we're holding that you violate Losana B'Yachet Shoker, it's B'Dibura Kovid Maisa, whatever you want to call it, and he gets Malchus. In the case of Edim Zomimim, when they testified against someone that he owes 200 zuz, then when they become Zomim, they pay the 200 zuz, and they don't what? They don't get mal. So let's use that as our paradigm for an overlap of Mamon and Malchus. The Torah tips the scale in favor of Mamon and will exempt you from Malchus. So Gemara says the following. What do we have in Edim Zomim? The Ika Mamon. Umalkos, so the moment is derived from Kasha Zom, and the Malkos is for violating Losana B'Yachet Shaker, and yet the Torah says that in this choice between one of two punishments, Mamon or Malkos, we're going to give him Mamon, he's going to have to pay up, and Milki Lo Lucky, and he's exempt from Malkos. Again, that's against Rabbi Meir, but we're not holding like Rabbi Meir now. Is Afkol Hecha De'ika Mamon or Malkos, whenever there's an overlap of Mamon and Malkos, is Mamona Mishalim Milki Lo Lucky? He pays Mamon, this is Ula Shita, and he doesn't get Malchus. Again, we don't know whether the philosophy here is because Mamon is a Chumra, or for some reason, even if Mamon is Lakula, the Torah Dafka wanted to be Mekil in Edom Zomim. like if it's a lav shein bo maisa or bedibura, or because it was kasher zon v'lo kasher asa, that nothing ever happened, you know, didn't material. Do you follow?
Yeah.
So the Gemara is going to now again contest Ula because Mimanafsha. If you're going to tell me that the reason why the Torah imposed the Chiyuv Mamon is because the Chiyuv Mamon is more Chomer than the Chiyuv Malkus, that's called Mamona Lechumra, then I'm going to tell you, well, maybe that's a din in Edom Zomimim. Edom Zomimim, you know, is a serious violation, and I'm going to prove to you that it's such a serious violation that's the only violation that doesn't require what? Asra. So we're going to punish the Edom Zomimim even in the absence of what? Of Asra. Oh, if the Torah is being very machmir, that justifies why Mamona Mishalim v'milka lo lucky. That's if we assume Mamona l'chumra. If on the other hand I assume Mamona l'kula, I'm going to tell you that the Torah is makil dafka in the case of Edom Zomimim. And the reason for that is because Edom Zomimim did not achieve any goal. Shekein lo'asu maisa, because we have a principle called kasher zomim v'lo kasher asa. So let's be a little bit more lenient in the case of Edom Zomimim. And we're going to let them get away with Mamona Lekula. So that's what Gemara says now. Mali Edom Zomim Shekein Edom Tzricham Asra. So now we're holding that Mamona is Lechumra. And I'll prove to you that the Torah is more Machmir in the case of Edom Zomim than in any other Avera in the Torah. And that's proven from the fact that this is the only single Avera that you will get Malkus even in the absence of Asra. I mean, that's really wild. I mean, truth is that this would seem to indicate that the requirement of Asra is some sort of Gzeira Sakosuf. Because what's your intuitive answer to the question, why do we require Asra before we punish someone? Right, lahavkin bein shogeg l'meizid. So if lahavkin bein shogeg l'meizid, l'chol we should apply that to Edom Zomim as well. Oh, okay, good. You're a step ahead of me. But I'm just saying, if there's a logic that compels Asra, then we would know no exceptions to the rule. If on the other hand you're dealing with Gzeiras HaKosuv, like for example, the Gemara has a machlokas tanon whether chaver needs a Asra or not. Did we have that here in Masechta Ksuvos?
He's expected to know.
Right. If it's logical to require Asra, k'dei l'havkin bein shogeg l'meizid, that doesn't apply to a chaver. And yet, the chachamim of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, if I remember correctly, they hold that even a chaver needs Asra. It means that Asra is a technical requirement. It's a gzeiras hakosuv. The Torah requires Asra. So then you have to ask yourself, well, why then, in the case of Edom Zomim, do we alleviate the requirement, do we nullify the requirement of Hasra? When there's Gzeiras HaKosuv, we can't punish someone without Hasra, even if he's a Chaver. So again, we're going to have to come up with some answer for that question. But be that as it may, the Gemara now is operating with the assumption that Mamona is L'chumra, and Edom Zomim is L'chumra. Which means that it fits, you know, the punishment fits the crime. The crime is so severe, because I'll prove it to you, he doesn't require Asra, I'm going to still punish him. Which might mean that this is the only case in the Torah where you condemn a criminal to death, right? Because Edom Zomim right. could be a death case right. without Asra. So the Torah is so machmir, therefore the Torah says, let him pay Mamon, in the case of Mamon and Malkus, rather than getting Malkus. You have no right to use this extrapolate as a binyan av from the case of Edom Zomim. If on the other hand, Mamona Lekula, so then Ula Lechora has a Kal Vachomer. Madoch in Edom Zomim, where the Torah is so machmir, and yet the Torah says instead of giving him Malkus, we'll give him Mamon, and we'll be compassionate. So how much more so in more severe Averas, we're going to be compassionate and let him pay Mamon. That's Ula's argument. Gemara says, nay. Because the case of Edom Zomim is Lekula, Shekein lo asu maisa. All the Edom Zomim did was talk. They did not do any maisa. And we have a principle of kasher zomam, velo kasher asa. So therefore, Edom Zomim is Lekula. Why? Because they didn't change anything. They didn't do anything. Right? In Bein Adam L'Chaver, when you punish a person, if he violates an Aver, that's because he hurt somebody else. Again, let's not go into psychological discussions here, that maybe, you know, maybe the fact that he was on trial and he was humiliated, blah, blah, blah. Let's leave that all out. There was a $1 million lawsuit. How much of that money did the nidon, did the accused lose? Zero. That's called kasher zov and lo kasher osa. And yet, we're going to make the edim zov pay $1 million out of pocket. So that means that the Torah is being very... Well, let me say it that way. We're holding now that Mamona is lakula. Okay, $1 million is not a good example. Let's say it's 200 zuz, right? So now there's a choice. We can either impose upon him 200 zuz, or we can give him malchus. Now we're holding that Mamon is lakula, correct? If Mamon is lakula, let's be mekil, dafka be Adim Zomim. Why? Because Adim Zomim never caused the Nidon to lose a dime. Out of the 200 zuz that they're paying under Kasha Zomim, the Nidon lost absolutely nothing. So that's called Shalo Asu Maisa. And therefore, we should be making, and that's why the Torah was compassionate and said, "Let him get away with paying the 200 zuz, and he's off the hook as far as Malkus."
Why would you say that?
Why would we say Mamon is lakula? Why would we say Mamon is lakula?
Why would you assume that the Torah wanted you to go to lakula when it says
in the case of Kasha Zom, because lo asu maisa. In other words, when we put this avera of Adim Zomim on the scale of all other averos, we come to the conclusion that there's a kula in this avera that doesn't apply to any other avera. We'll talk about Benon Lechavero here. In Benon Lechavero, I judge the avera by how much the Yenim lost, you know, what hefsid he suffered. And in this case, Adim Zomim is on the bottom of the barrel, it's zero. Right? Because nothing is going to happen here.
Yeah, but if you say Lekula, if the Torah really meant Lekula,
right,
then it wouldn't have had to say Kasher Zoma. It would have left it out altogether. It would have said Afilu Kasher Zoma, which means that below, and it wouldn't have been the Mirut of Kasher Asa.
It didn't say Kasher Zoma, it wouldn't have been any.
No, I lost you on that.
Mammon at all.
I lost it. So you guys fight that out. I'm going to go on in the sugya. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Is there any thought about who are you focusing on? For instance, are you focusing on the Nechbal?
We're going back to Kavola now?
Yes.
Okay, let's go back to Kavola.
Even in the Nechbal or in the Eid Zom. No, not in the Eid Zom. In the Nechbal.
Let's focus on Nechbal.
If you... They giving them the money makes sense because they suffered from this attack. Giving the person malchut does nothing for them.
Right, so this actually, Yosef, is the sugi that we did a month ago, which I'm afraid to have finished. We never finished it. Called Misa Lezeh, Mama Lezeh. In other words, why should, let's say, Plony burns down my haystack on Shabbos. So, what's the halacha? He's going to get killed for Shabbos, and therefore I lose my haystack? I mean, why don't you pay me for my haystack? You follow what I'm saying? Yeah, and the Mishnah in Bava Kamma actually applies Kidmei Rabinei, even though it looks like Mamon Lezeh, Misa Lezeh. So we had a lot of discussions why it's not a case of Mamon Lezeh, Misa Lezeh. But be that as it may, the Torah says that whenever you get a punishment, you're alleviated from paying Mamon. Again, we don't understand, let's say, the rationale for that, but at least that's the way Kimlev the Ravani works. So, for example, in Eda Loka Mishalim, before Ula came into the picture, we're going to say the following, that the Nebuch, the guy who lost his haystack, he's going to get no compensation whatsoever because the criminal is going to be suffering 39 lashes. I can't justify that in moral terms, but that's the way it goes. That's before Ula. Comes along Ula and he turns everything upside down. And he says that instead of giving him Malkus, we give him Mammon. So, you know, we're not yet ready for a mayor who's going to say we give him both punishment. But the machlokus here between Ula and Rabbi Yochanan, who's coming around the bend, is the following. One sheet is going to say that in Mammon and Malkus, we give him Malkus, and that's the more severe punishment. That's called Mammon Lekula. And we give him the more severe punishment. Ula says, no, Mamon is l'chumra. We're going to give him Mamon, and he exempts himself from Malchus. Now, there are two cases where clearly Ula is absolutely correct, that we give him Mamon and not Malchus. That's Chovil b'chavero and Eidim Zomim. The problem is that we don't know whether these two cases are exceptions or they become a paradigmic case.
Two cases don't become a binyanav.
Well, we're going to get to b'matzad in a minute, but I'm just saying that each case unto itself, before we get to the tzad hashavish b'neihem, is going to be a binyanah. And both of them are abortive enterprises. They both meet with failure. And they both meet with failure because of this mimonashach, whether mamon is l'kula or mamon is l'chum. And basically, why do we have no right to derive neither from Chovel nor from Edom Zomim? Because both of these cases have two dimensions. They have a dimension of Lechumra and a dimension of Lechum. Let's go through. In the case of Chovel, we have a dimension of Lechumra because you hit him with five categories of payment. On the other hand, we have a dimension of Lechula, between Hutu Mechlolo Eitzel Bezden. In the case of Edom Zomim, we have an aspect of Lechumra because they're Chayavim without Asro. We have an aspect of Kula because they're Lo Asu Maisa. They didn't do anything. So again, when we take these averos of Chavola, which is Pen Yosef, and Edom Zomim, which is Lo Sad and Berach and Shaker, in both of these averos, we can vacillate back and forth. And we don't know the answer to that question. And if we don't know the answer to that question, then Ula has no right to use them as a binyanah. So for example, if we assume that Mamona is Lechumra, then what can you derive from Chovel? Because Chovel is Lechumra, i.e. because you pay the five payments. If you can assume that Mamona is Lechumra, then what can you derive from Edom Zomim? We should be more Machmir in Edom Zomim because it doesn't require Asra. If on the other hand you're going to say that Mamona is Lekula, and then Ula is based on a Kal Vachomer, the answer is no, because then I'm going to say that Chovel is Lekula, and I'm going to say that Edom Zomim is Lekula, because I'm going to say that Chovel is Lekula because there's no what? There's Hutu Mechlolo Eitzel Bezdin, and Edom Zomim is Lekula because Lo Avid Maisa. So whichever way you want to move, you're always going to match up the Lekula with the Lekula and the Lechumra with the Lechumra. Meaning, if you're going to assume that Mamon is Lechumra, I'm going to tell you that these two cases are Lechumra. If you're going to assume that Mamon is Lekula, I'm going to tell you that these two Averis are Lekula. So you never really have a solid case unless you introduce what's called a Tzad HaShavah. Ella, says the Gemara, Gomar Mitravayu. I'm realizing now that it's a little bit late, so I want to go through this piece that we started yesterday in the Mishkanos HaRoim. Can anyone give me a pencil, perhaps, and make a note that we're up to the Tzad HaShavah of Ula? This is the world famous Tzad HaShavah of Ula. You're all familiar with this. I'm just joking, but it is a very dramatic sugya here. The Tzad HaShavah. I don't want to botch it up now, but if you don't have a pencil,
I don't have a pencil.
I'll just use a pen then. I don't usually like to write with a pen, but in this case, I don't have.
Oh, here's a pencil.
Oh, you have a pencil?
Thanks.
Oh, great.
It doesn't look like it has a point.
Let's just see. Let's see if this one has a point. All right, I found one with a point. This is my muksa drawer. Okay. So now, Rabosai, if you can turn to the Mishkanos HaRoim, and I give you two choices here, and you'll vote on it, and then I'll make a decision. But the two possibilities are, A, that we go through the Mishkanos HaRoim in the original text, or B, that we use the summary text.
The difference being that we don't have the summary
text. Wait, I think we may have it. Sam, did you by any chance photocopy the summary text, or you didn't get a chance to do it? You have one for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have one copy. So again, I'll tell you the honest truth, Yosef. I think you'll be better off without the
summary text,
even though I'm going to use the summary text. And certainly, as a group effort, we're better off if you don't have the summary text, because then you'll be able to follow me in the original text, and you'll tell me where I skipped or what I left out. Okay?
Which daf are we on?
So you're on page Kuf Sadi Beis, which we started yesterday, and what we wrapped up yesterday were three nafkaminas between the Ra'ah and Tosfos. The first nafkamina is at the bottom of Kuf Sadi Beis, which is called Os Reish Chaf Ches. Do you have that if you want to see that? And the premise of Reish Chaf Ches, which we worked on very hard yesterday, is that Akira Litzarach Hanacha is considered a shogeg situation. Why? Because at the moment of Akira, there's no Chiv Misa, and therefore it's like the whole, what I call the conceptual Kimrei Derabbanan, with the theoretical Kimrei Derabbanan of Chayvei Misa Shogegim. And the problem is going to be in the case of Malkios, for example, if they gave Masra on Yom Kippur that he shouldn't be Zorik this Chetz that's going to go from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah to Dalet Amos, whatever the case may be. Then, if they gave Masra for Malkios, we're talking about Chayvei Malkios Shogegim. And as we discussed yesterday, according to Rabbi Yochanan at least, Chayvei Malkios Shogegim does not lend itself to Kimlei B'Derabbanan. So the fact that at the moment of the Akira he rips somebody Shirayim, and we want to apply Rav Oven's principle of Akira Lutzok HaNocha, if we assume and identify the Akira as a Shogeg situation, then we cannot apply Kimlei B'Derabbanan, and Rabbi Oven's principle would be totally irrelevant. And all that is correct according to the Ra'ah, but if you hold like Tosfos, which we discussed yesterday, and it's all a matter of the Efshar Le Hanocha B'lo Akira, which allows me to expand the time period so that Kimlei B'Derabbanan now applies to any time he starts with that Maisa that's absolutely critical, then we're not talking about Shogeg over here. Shogeg is if you analyze the Akira from the perspective of a Chiyuv Misa, then you could say that since he's not Chayav Misa at this moment, it's like a Shogeg. And then we could differentiate between Misa and Malkus. But if, on the other hand, you're going with Tosis' opinion that Akira Litzarech HaNocha is just to set up a series of pu'ulos, or an enterprise, right? A project that's going to have a beginning and an end, and that beginning is not part of the Maisa Machayev at all, and we apply, according to Tosis, this rule even to Rava's case of Hagbah Litzarech Nisuch, right, that he efshal Nisuch below Hagbah, even though the Hagbah is not part of the Maisa Machayev, and that's where we'll part ways from the Ra'ah, then the whole concept of Shogeg is irrelevant, because we're not dealing with Shogeg over here, we're dealing with the question of simultaneity. According to Tosfos, we're trying to say that any Chiyuv Mamon that takes place beyond the Haskola, which means the efshar below meaning Beis Laman Aleph, not B-E-L-O-W, right? So that's going to be Kimlei D'Rabbanan. So that even in the case of Malkus, in the case of Yom Kippur, since he did the Akira, he started a process in motion, and he Efshal HaNoch below Akira, and therefore when he rips the Shirayim Shel Chaver, he's going to be Potter. That was the first Afkamina. And just very quickly going over this, the second Afkamina was on page Kuf Tzadi Gimel, and that was a case of that was in Os Reishchaf test on the left side of your page, and that was a case of a Maisa which is not part of the Machayev in a case of Chayvei Misa Shogegim. Okay, let me see if I can summarize that for you. Let me just see. So the case is Chayvei Misa Shogegim, and he starts with a Maisa which is not part of the Avera. So let's talk about the case of Achilas Chelev, according to Rav Nechunya ben Akana, that Kimlei applies to Achiv Karius. So now he puts the chalev into his mouth, and at that point he destroys someone else's property. And let's say he did this b'shogeg. So he says the following. According to Shitas HaTosfos, since we're dealing with Chayvei Misa Shogegim, we're going to apply the principle of Kimlei D'Rabbanan, and Akira's Litzarech HaNocha, because it's impossible to get to the point of swallowing the chalev without first what? Putting it into your mouth. But if we're going to the withdrawal, and now what we're saying is that we need a tchilas achiyuv, that the beginning of the first action that he does, what we call the akirin conceptual terms, it's got to be part of the ma'isa machayev here, Hachnosa Lepiv is not part of the Maisa Mechayev. Then we had a third nafkamina in the case of Motzi Sakin, that if he's carrying the knife from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, and on his way he was Koreach Shirayim Shal Chaver before he put down the Sakin in Rishus HaRabim, in such a case, do we apply the principle of Akira Tzorech HaNocho? It depends on the machlokas between the Ra'ah and Tosfos. So this is Reish Lamed, which is on the bottom of Kuf Tzadi Gimel, going on to the top of Kuf Tzadi Dal. And he says the following, that there is a fundamental difference between Mavir Sakin, Dalet Amos Bishus HaRabim, and Mavir Sakin Rishus HaYochid Rishus HaRabim. In the case of Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim, the Machayev is A, the Akira, and B, the Anocha. There was an Akira Rishus HaYochid and an Anocha Rishus HaRabim. Now, according to the Ra'ah, we're saying that this Kim Levi the Rabbim based on the Maisa Machayev. Correct? The Maisa Machayev. Here, in this particular case, as opposed, in contrast to the Mavir Daladamas case, which we'll get back to in a split second, the Ra'ah at least would say that he's chayav to pay damages for the Kriyas HaShirayim. Why? Because although there is a Maisa Machayev, but the middle stage in which he carries it is not part of the Maisa Machayev. He picks it up in Rishus HaYochid, then he carries it, and then he puts it down in Rishus HaYochid. So that middle stage of carrying it is not part of the Maisa Machayev. Let me explain. In the case of Mavir Dalet Amos, you're chayev for the Havara, for literally for carrying it for Amos. There's nothing more radical here, because again, it's all in Rishus HaRabim, so you never change the Rishus. In the case of Motzi Rishus Rishus, the radicality here is the fact that it started in one Rishus, the Amos, and it ended up in another Rishus.
Not the Havar.
The Havar is only important in order to get it down into the other Rishus, but the relocation is the Machayev, if you follow me. Now, Anocha is the Machayev. Not so in the case of Havar Dalet Amos, and this you'll see in Reish Lamed. So again, I was hoping that you would see the text inside as I go through this. It starts on the bottom of Kuf Tzadi Gimel. I'm only giving you the summary of it. And he says that according to Tosfos, in this case, we would apply the principle. Again, the case again is Motzi Sakin Rishus HaYochid Rishus HaRabim. We would apply the principle of Kidleib and the Ramine, because again, according to Tosfos, we're not talking about the Maisa Machayev, but rather we're trying to set up a simultaneity which covers and spans an entire period of time from the beginning of the Yefshal Anoch Belo Akira, so that when he does the Akira Rishus HaYochid, he's already set into motion a process that's going to culminate with a Chiyuv Misa when he puts it down on Anoch Rishus HaRabim. Anything that happens in between is subject to Kimlev the Ramini, right? That's the umbrella of Kimlev the Ramini that starts with the first Maisa, which is the Yefshal Belo, like we discussed before in the case of Achnosel Lepiv, which covers you for Kimlev Rabbi from the moment of Achnosel Lepiv until the moment of Bliya. Here it's going to cover you from the moment of Akira until the moment of Anocha, and anything in between. What happens in between when he carries it from one Rishus to the other, you'll argue that it's not part of the Maisa Machayev. That's irrelevant to Tosfos, because what happens is it's considered as if he ripped the Shirayim of the Chavero when he did the Anocha, because we're going to go backwards from the Anocha all the way back to the Akira, and we're going to swallow up that whole span of time as one kid, Tokidei Dibur. Mashenkin, if you go with whom? With the Ra'ah, and the Ra'ah is saying that what's Akira Tzorech Anocha, it means the Maisa Machayev. Well, in the case of Hotzah, there is no Maisa Machayev at the time of carrying it from one Rishus to the other. Hence, there will not be Kimlev the Rabbi, which is good news for the owner of the Shirayim. And then he gets to the third Nafkimina. And the third Nafkimina is going to be on Reish Lamed Aleph. Do you have Reish Lamed Aleph? That's on page Kuf Tzadi Dal. And he quotes in this Reish Lamed Aleph, going on to Reish Lamed Beis and so forth and so on, a school of Rishonim. And this school of Rishonim belongs to a position which is quite new to us. It's not intuitive. And that is that Mavrid Dalet Amos Brishus HaRabim is no different than Otsam Rishus Lishus, and you're chayav not for the carrying it, but for the lifting it up, the Akira at the beginning of Dalet, and the Hanoch at the end of Dalet. So I'll read this to you. He says, HaRishonim Sobim Degam B'Mavrid Dalet Amos Brishus HaRabim Ein Kol HaArba Amos Gormei Achiv. It's not that the carrying it over the four amos is the gram achiyuv. El ha'ikar achiyuv hu kimo b'motzi mishus l'shus ha'im ha'sha oker mi t'chilas ha'dalet amos u'meiniyach b'sof dalet amos. And yet, the Gemara explicitly tells us that in this case that he was maver dalet amos just rabbi, he was korea shirayim in the middle, we apply the principle of Akir Tzorach Hanocha and Kilmeh Ramin. Well, what's the Ra'ah going to do with this? Because the Ra'ah means that it has to be part of the Ma'aseh Mechayev, and now we're assuming according to all these Rishonim. Again, it doesn't mean the Ra'ah has to subscribe to the Shita, but the Mechayev, the Ma'aseh Mechayev is the Akir Hanocha, not the actual Havara Dalet Amos. The Al Korchak Tzorach Lomer, the other Potel Ashirayim Bekara, Beveshat Zman Avor, Mishum Dechol, Hapu'ulos, Mitchilas Akira, Zman Akiru, Nechshavos, Ki Yesh Bem Chiv Misa. That somehow we integrate, I'm not exactly sure here, I wrote a question mark in my book because I don't know if I understand what he's saying here, that when he starts with the Maisa Machayv Akira, and he ends with the Maisa Machayv of Hanocha, then all the activity that goes in between, that's, you know, between the bookends, it's all considered Yesh Bo Mishum Chiyuv Misa.
It's an umbrella.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but again, he's talking about the Ra'ah, Yosef. You know, if he was talking about Tosfos, I'd have no sweat. But we're talking about the Ra'ah. So listen to the punchline. Okay. And this touches on what Alan was saying yesterday. He says, Kevan She'im Yafsik B'Emtza, if he will cease, if he'll desist, for 1 second, the lo yechibur bein hakira la'anocha. Notes he does a kind of anocha, like omed lakata. If we spoke about, I'm sorry, omed lafush. I get confused. Right, omed lafush.
Push the pause button.
Right, he pushed the pause button, but again, he pushed the pause button because he needs a break, not because he's right. Shifting the object from the left side of the shoulder to the right side of the shoulder.
He's stopping.
Yeah. So in such a case, he's potter. What do you see from that? He says, Vaisdois, what you derive from this is that kol ha'pu'ulos mitchilu v'atzof and kulam mitztarfos le'etzem chiyuv ha'misa. And if there's no tziruf between the entire pu'ula from beginning to end, then he's not chayuv misa. So he says the following. If you're going to go with that opinion, then the previous nafkamina that we suggested in the case of motzi, sakim, rishus, lishus, which is tayof, which is a rabbi, we said that according to the rabbah, there's no kimle and rabbi minay because all the carrying in the middle is not part of the machayev. So there's no simultaneity between ripping the shirayim and the machayev. And therefore you have to pay the shirayim, which we said was good news for the bala shirayim. All that we have to throw out now because there's no difference between motzi, rishus, lishus, and Avar Stalin Atmos Mishus Arabah. In both cases, we're going to have to apply the lumbus that if he would be mafsik in the middle, it would break up the tziruf, and therefore he'd not be chayiv. So you see that the entire expanse of the process and all the pulos, all the activity in the middle is all part of the Maisa Machai.
But it's not only that, that's only one law. He's just saying the mechanism is the same. He's not saying there's no such thing as a separate law for Motzi Rishus L'Rishus and Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim.
Well, it's all part of one Malacha. I don't know what you mean by separate law.
I mean, but
the only case of a separate law is maybe Havara. Yeah, I'm sorry, is Havara being with an Ayin. You follow?
Yeah, what I mean, but
if you are over
on something different between one and the other, it's not.
I'm not sure exactly what you mean. Like you look at us, right?
No. If I carry something from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim,
right?
And Amita Hanochi and Rishus HaRabim after Dalai Ramos that I walked in Rishus HaRabim.
So you have Shtayim in such cases.
Why should I have Shtayim? Because you only have one. If it's one, it's one Malachis. It's not one Malachis. Two Malachis.
No, I think we have to know more about chiluke malachas, but for example, let's say he eats fried blood and then he eats roasted blood. He has to be two kadosh, even though he violates the same avera.
Yeah, so that's the same avera, though.
Right, so I'm just saying he hits the same avera, but the two tsuras are pa'ula, and therefore it would generate two kapuot. I mean, I don't know if you want to get into that.
The main point that he's saying is that
there's an absolute equation here, according to these Rishonim, between Akira and Hanocha, minus the Havar in the middle, in both Hotzah and Havar Stalinamus. In both cases, you're chayiv for picking it up and putting it down. Anything in the middle is not part of the Maisa Machayiv.
Yeah,
so the question is, according to Ra'ah, we're in deep, deep trouble here, because the Gemara says explicitly that in the case of Mavrid Dalinamus, that was Rabbi Ovin's paradigm case where he shot the arrow from Tchilas Dalet and Rishus Rav, and it ended at the end of Dalet. In the middle, it was Koresh Shirayim. He doesn't pay the Baal Shirayim because the Kimle, because Akira Tzorach Anocha. But you just finished telling me that the Machayev is the Akira and Anocha, that according to the Ra'ah, the reason why we apply the principle of Kimle Rami according to Rabbi Ovid is because there was a Maisa Machayev here. So at the time, let's say, he lifted up the kiss, right? Let's say, and that's an Akira. And at that moment, he's Chayev for Gneva, if you're old Kinyan, in the case of Kinyan Agvah. And therefore, we're going to say he's Potter. Well, I got news for you. That makes sense in the case where he lifts up the kiss, and at that moment, he's Chayev for both. The Akira is a Maisa Machayev, which is Chayev Misa, and the Mon, which is Chayev for Gneva. But in the case of Mavrid Dalinamus, the arrow ripped the Shirayim L'chaver while it was in flight. Not during the moment of Akira, nor during the moment of Anocha. Elwa, you're going to have to tell me this new Shita that all the Pa'ulas of Itztar from L'chi of Misa. Well, if you're going to say that, then I'm going to apply the same logic to Motzi, Sakim, Rishus, and Shus, and then I'm going to drop that Nafkamina, which is not terrible. But now he has another discussion. And here again, I need your help. This is Reish Lamed Gimel. Where is Reish Lamed Gimel? This is on the bottom of Kuf Tzadi He. So here I'm going to drop the overview, the Sikkum, and I'm going to read it together with you in the original. He says the following. There's a Shakla V'Tari in the Achronim about the following. What happens in a case where the Chiyuv Misa precedes the Chiyuv... I'm sorry, start again. I had it right. Okay, so what happens in a case where the Chiyuv Misa precedes the Chiyuv Mama? In all the scenarios that we've been discussing until now, he starts with the Chiyuv Mama and he ends with the Chiyuv Misa. We're trying to figure out if there's something that happened at the beginning of this process that would allow me to apply Rav Ovin's principle of Akira Tzorach Hanocha. But what happens in the reverse case, where he starts with the Chiyuv Misa and he ends with the Chiyuv Mama? That's really wild. And he wants to know what would be about Kimle D'Rami. We'll have a case, an actual case, in just a minute. He says the following. Heich Yadin, this is line 4, if you have Reish Lamed Gimel. Sam, you have Kuf Tzadi He, right?
Yeah.
So you see Reish Lamed Gimel on the bottom left?
Yeah.
So in that first paragraph from Reish Lamed Gimel, line 4, line 3 and 4, he says, Heich Yadin, Kishachiv Hamisa Kodem Chiv Hamom. I Amrinon, should we say that Bitzad Chiv Mom and Akira Tzorach Hanocha Diyami Efshal Lechiv Mom and Sha'achaka below Maisa Shekodem Lo? So again, he started with a Chiv what? With a Chiv Misa. But the only thing is, he, in order to achieve the subsequent chronological Chiv Mamon, he had to do that first Pa'ula, which generated Chiv Misa. Would that also come under Akira Tzorach Hanocha?
What's the case?
Oh, what's the case? This is mind-boggling. Here's the case. The case is where a man has beer with a chayve krisus, and he's chayev knas only for gmar beer. Again, we'll see why in a minute. But he's chayev misa for what's called ha'arara. Now it's ha'ara, which is the first part of beer. Some identify it with knisas ha'atara, or even before that with neshika. Is at that point he's chayev misa. Or kares, if it's balachos, if it's balbito, he's chayev misa. And he's not going to be chayev knas until he finishes his beer. So in this case, everything is tafsi-turi. He starts with a chiv misa, and he ends with a chiv mamon, but he couldn't have possibly achieved the chiv mamon without doing the pa'ul rishon of a chiv misa. That's what he has here in the next paragraph.
I mean, every
day. You know, Rabosai, it's just mind-boggling how this thing mushrooms in so many conceptual ways. He says the following. This is a Tosfos in Yevamos Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph in the name of the Yesh Mefarshim. The Chiv Knas, right, in the case of Ma'anis or Mefater, Eino Ela the Gmar Bia, and that's based on a Sugya in Sanhedrin. And he says the following, that as far as the Chiv Karis is concerned, right, let's say we go with Rav Nachunya ben Akana. Again, it doesn't have to be, but let's say if we're talking about a chiv kares, so we're going to apply the principle of kibbeh to the rabbi minay, and he doesn't have to pay knas in the case of Baal Achosa. Again, our Mishnah at the beginning of the third pack of Ksubas is against Rav Nachunya ben Akana, because it says that even Baal Achosa pays knas. But let's go with the sheet of the Chuyben Akana, for example. Again, it could work out according to Chacham, just have to change a few of the facts on the ground. So at the moment that he has what's called Ha'ara, which is Tchilas Bia, with his own sister, at that moment, he's Chayev Karetz, because the Torah considers Tchilas Bia as Bia in Kol HaTorah Kula. I mean, the only exception is going to be Knas, or maybe Nisuin, it could be that Erisin, right? In Erisin, that's the sheet of one of the Gaonim, that's an exception. That Kola Boel in the case of Kinyonim is Daital Gmarbi. But as far as Isur is concerned, as far as Isurim are concerned, the Torah considers Tchilas Bia as what? As beer. They say it has the same status as Gmar Bia. It's chai ready for Tchilas Bia. There's no compassion over here. Somebody told me that when Mavaran Lichtenstein's a Kol Vavah taught this sugi, he brought charts in. Could you imagine? You gotta be Mavaran Lichtenstein for that, right? He brings in charts to show you exactly what Tchilas Bia is, what Sof Bia is. There's so many different sheetahs about what exactly is what and what's going on. But in any event, he's chai misa way before the Gmar Bia. At least a half a second before Gmar Bia. So in this case, what happens is he's only chayv for knas, according to Yesh Mefarshim, when he's gomer es habia, and that's based on a sugya in Sanhedrin. So if you put these two facts together, then what you have is a chiv misa that preempts the chiv mamon. Can we apply akir tzarech hanocha even to set up? It's to set up the Chiv Mamon and say the Chiv Mamon is simultaneous with the Chiv Misa, because the Chiv Mamon needs the first Pu'ula of Achnosa Satorah.
So there will be a Tyson for the Ra'ah wouldn't accept that. Because
Oh, so now your step had to be great, because I couldn't figure this out yet. So let's go according to Tosfos. According to Tosfos, then we could apply.
Yeah, because it's in.
Oh, but according to the
they're not two parts of the same Misa.
Right, you can't identify the Sof Bia with the Chiv Misa, because he's already Chayav Misa from before. Let's see if that's what he says here on page Kuf Tzadi Vav. Well, if he's Zayesh Lamada, the Ayesh Mefarshim Svila, the Keva, the Chiv Aknas, Eno Yochel Lovo below Ha'ara. Right, since the chiv knas, which is clinched with gemar bia, cannot come into existence without ha'ara, is havi ha'ara chelik michiv ha'mama. So maybe, I don't know, I think maybe he's trying to work it out even according to the Rambam. Oh, I'm not sure. Let me just read to you what he says. He says the following. I'm just going to make sure I'm on the right page. The ofen shechiv ha'mamon kodem l'chiv ha'misa. And now we have a metzias for that, right? A case to fit the description. Aval ef should be metzias l'chiv ha'mamon shaliach makach below ha'misa shekodem sha'alav nischayev b'misa. I am reading gam b'chai gavna akirat zorach hanocha olam. Now, I'm not sure who he's quoting, because this is again the summary. If you could tell me here in number Reish Lam and Gimel who he's quoting, because I'm always curious to know who he's quoting here. I think it's the Afiezer or Reuven Gerzovsky. I'm not sure. You'll take a look. You have it? It's the Afiezer? So he says the following: Zeh Tolui B'machlokas Rishonim Anal, as you said before. You the Lashita Satos, the Gera Dinu, the Chshivi, Chiv Mamachiv Misa, Kiboy, Bavasachas, is Gam, Bitzad Chiv Mamon, I'm reading Kirit Zorachan Nocha. Right? Because again, two actions that are interdependent and cannot exist independently become Bavasachas. That's the essence of Kirit Zorachan Nocha, because we need both. And that spans the time period. So we're going to apply that even in the case where the Chiv Mama comes later, but the Chiv Mama is Haba Hatali, it's dependent upon the first action. Aval Shita Sarah, here's where I got lost. The Hakira Shi Chelik Michiv HaMisa. The Hakira Shi Chelik Michiv HaMisa. Right? That was the Ra'ah. Is what? Is Pope. Whoops. Oh, no. You got to really make that flare. Okay, Rabbi. So we'll stop here. This Mincha now. And Mincha's actually at 1:20, so I see they didn't start it. So I'm not.
This is still very different than the Shabbos case. The Maisa Misa were two bookends, and there's a third Maisa that's in the middle.
Here we're talking about the two bookends are the two different. This is that we're going to say one's dependent on the other, and it will be. So according to Tosis, for sure, you can think about Kimlei Rav. Now let's go according to the Ra'ah. So let me just read to you again. I'm not holding up anybody. This is a post. He says, "Avol Shita Sarah Ad Akiri Chelik Michiv Amisa." The Lachini Poteres Mikashlim. In Cain. Bitzad chiyuv hamamon lekel lemeimar akirut zokanok v'sharei yochel luschay mamon rak al amaisa shal afrika bitzad atzmo. If you have a minute, just I wrote something here. I saw it, the last two ones. You can find it in the original. Let me just.